Please be aware that part of this dream may not be appropriate for young or sensitive children. I pull on the door to make sure it shuts because this time of the year it latches hard. I turn the key to lock the door. As I walk down the steps, I zip up my coat against the early morning chill. Up the road, I see a neighbor I know. He waves at me and I wave back. As I walk toward my car, my mind is reviewing the many errands I need to run. In the distance, I can hear the sound of an ambulance on the freeway. I say a short prayer for what may be an emergency, and that God's watchful eye will be over the accident. I hear birds singing and look up to see several birds sitting in a tree. I ponder what a loving God we have that takes care of even these tiny creatures in the dead of winter. How much more He loves and cares for us. Pastor Noel, someone suddenly calls out. I turn to see a woman walking toward me. I do not know her and do not believe I have seen her before. She says she has been praying diligently to the Lord about a man she has been seeing for quite some time. She explains that she wants me to ask God what she should do. She needs to know whether she should marry this man or not. I explain to her, God listens to your prayers as much as He listens to mine. We know there will be marrying and giving in marriage up until the day Jesus comes. But this is something you need to take directly to Jesus and ask Him for guidance. The Holy Spirit will show you what to do, but you must have faith and patience. Do not let your emotions rule your heart. Allow the Holy Spirit to show you what God sees as best for you. Before she walks away, she says she will hold the matter up to Jesus in prayer and wait in faith for Him to show her what to do. Continuing to my car, I see a man walking towards me that I recognize from the ABC dream. It is the Herald. Dressed as an ordinary man, he looks at me, smiles, and calls me by my heavenly name. Puzzled, I ask why I am seeing him and why he is calling me by my heavenly name when I am not in a dream. As I watch, his appearance changes into an angel. He is quite tall, his hair is white and brushed straight back. His face has a look of extreme patience. He is very noble looking. His skin has a well-tanned appearance. He wears a white garment that looks like mist. Yet I can see folds in it as if it is cloth. His wings come from his back and unfold, unfold, and unfold. I look at his face and he smiles. Once again I see the dimples in his cheeks and I know it is him. Again I ask why I am seeing him and hearing him call my heavenly name outside of a dream. He continues to smile at me and again calls me by my heavenly name as if to confirm who he is. He explains that God hears all prayers and that He answers prayers, but in His own way. He says, up until this point, what you have experienced from the time you shut your door and locked it until right now is a dream and the result of answers to specific prayers by your brothers and sisters to the Father in the name of your Savior. The Herald now asks, may I have your hand? I hold out my right hand. We ascend and are now in the corridor. He says, please sit here for a while. I ask if I have been receiving dreams for several months that I do not recall, except for a small portion. He explains that the Father has shown me much over the last few months, and that now it is time to show me what I am to share with His people. He says that these things need to be understood because they are a map of what we are to expect. We should not be discouraged, but know that just as our Father knows the beginning, He also knows the end. The Herald stands up and says to hold fast to my courage, as He will now show me things which must happen. He again says He has much to show me. We begin walking through the corridor wall. On the other side, I find we are at a very high altitude in the sky, as if we are a bird flying, watching our country. I see destruction unfold on the face of the earth. Great round burning objects hit certain cities which destroy all who live there. These round objects cause the earth to shake. Other cities, hundreds and hundreds of miles away from where those cities were destroyed, begin to shake and the buildings fall, crashing to the ground. I see explosions of immense heat and fire emerging from the ground. What looks like liquid fire runs through the many areas. This liquid consumes everything in its path. I see fire shoot up in the sky as if it were a fountain of water, except it is burning. All across the country I see certain cities with unfathomable destruction. Even though I cannot see other parts of the world, I know the things I see in front of me are happening there as well. In order to see better, we descend closer to a certain city. I watch as vehicles on highways and interstates crash. The roads that the cars and trucks are traveling on open up into crevasses. It is as if the road is pulled apart. In other areas, I see the roads begin to crunch together and the pavement stack up on top of each other, becoming pavement on top of pavement. We turn and I see large airports. The runways disappear into the earth. The airplanes have no place to land. I am now taken to other areas that are not as densely populated, and the people there are unharmed. There are many towns and cities that are not destroyed. I ask the herald if I may tell which cities. He answers, no, that is not permitted. He explains that each must learn the guidance of the Holy Spirit concerning where God would have them live. He then says, come, I have more to show you. The herald and I return to the corridor and pause for a little while. He explains, his people are to understand that the next thing I show you must happen. God is in control. We pass through the wall, and I am now watching many funerals all at the same time. I know that many elderly people have been laid to rest. I am also shown that many infants and small children are laid to rest. The herald explains that this is in God's love, that it should be understood they are laid to rest so they will not have to endure the time that is upon us. I watch as mothers say goodbye to their newborn or young children. They look up and grieve to the father and ask why. The herald looks at me and says, if that mother is faithful, that child will be returned to her arms and she will raise that child in heaven. I watch as adults say goodbye to their parents and grandparents. Many cry with great remorse. The herald tells me they need to understand that it is for a short time, but if they and those they say goodbye were and are faithful to their Savior, they will have all eternity together. It will be a family reunion like none you can imagine. The herald says, come, I have more to show you. We return to the corridor and proceed on through. We are now outside where I see homes that have been destroyed. These used to be very fine homes which cost millions of dollars. These were either destroyed by fire, high winds, earthquakes, or from objects pounding them to pieces. Parked beside the homes are vehicles. Some are burned, some smashed. Like the homes, these cars were also very fine. I watch as the people who owned these cried that they had lost all their earthly possessions. Many walked around and declared, this is God's judgment upon us. He is angry that we are not faithful to Him. My angel and I leave this area and go to another which has also received much devastation. I learned that all the money which people once had is no more. The banking institutions had been destroyed in the horrible things which happened. I watch as many cry aloud that all their money is gone. I am now taken to an area where I understand the people are Seventh-day Adventists. They had been entrusted with earthly treasures from God. They had built up their treasures on earth and now cry that they were given a chance to help financially, but no longer will have that opportunity. I watch as these people get together and mention how they were faithful in giving 10% to God, but God had taken everything away from them. They now have no money and no means to rebuild their earthly mansions or buy fancy cars. They learn that they were given an opportunity to help with God's workers who needed financial assistance. God turned his back to them and had allowed Satan to destroy their property as he did Job. The herald turns to me and says, "It is important that his people understand, while it is important that we are to return a tithe to God's storehouse, it is equally important that they understand what the funds are being used for. If an individual is providing funds and they understand that the funds are not being used according to his will, that person will be held accountable. The great Creator has said to pay tribute to those who do his bidding." The Herald explains that many tributes are used toward Lucifer's work of using spiritualism from within God's church by those who collect and place the funds in a storehouse. The Herald says, "That is not God's storehouse. Those that give a tribute will be able to see the blessing they give in faith when it is placed in God's storehouse. Now I see many who are crying because they have lost all. They no longer have a way to contribute in faith. Some were given an opportunity to give a large portion of the talent they were blessed with, but wanted to hold back. They wanted to hold off because they felt there would still be time. Now that talent is removed from them, and they will be unable to share. I am shown that many could have been blessed, but if only faith had been strong in the individuals who could have stepped out in faith. I look at my angel and have no words to say. For the first time, I have no questions, just an empty feeling. He says, 'Let us leave here, as many will not understand what you have been shown.' Anyone who does not understand, you are to only tell them. Each has to pray and ask for God's guidance concerning whom and what they support. They are to understand that they will be held accountable for what and whom they support. Again, I am to tell you to tell them that they are to support and pay tribute to those who do his bidding. I tell the Herald that this is a very controversial subject, and there is much confusion as to God's storehouse. He calls me by my heavenly name and says, 'They are to understand that you, like I, are a messenger. I was instructed to share exactly what I have. You are to share exactly what I have shared with you. Those who have questions are to take it to the one who holds the keys to the great storehouse.' We walk back into the corridor and the Herald says, 'Come and sit here.' We sit down and he takes both of my hands. He calls me by my heavenly name and says, 'I am now to show you something that will bother many. Again, I tell you, hold to your courage, hold to your faith, hold to the knowledge that the Creator of all is in complete control. When you prepare this, add a note that this may be sensitive to young minds, but the mature mind will be able to understand what I am to show you.' As we stand up, he looks at me and says, 'If only you could fully understand the love your Creator and Savior has for you.' For the first time, I notice my angel is not smiling, but has a very serious look on his face. I sense he does not want to see what he is about to show me. We walk through the wall, and I find myself at what looks like a large prison or some type of detention center. I see people all standing in a long, straight line that moves forward very slowly. The people are wearing what look like paper gowns worn in a hospital. I notice they are not sad and crying, nor exuberant and happy. They are solemn, but have a look of peace about them. They know and understand. I stand there watching them for quite some time as the line slowly moves forward. They all sing the same song over and over and over. I find myself starting to hum it. The song they sing is, I Surrender All. As the line moves forward, I begin to study and think about the words as I never have before. They are now etched into my mind. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Him, I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence, daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures, all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly Thine. Fill me with Thy love and power. Truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to His name. The words keep going through my mind as I stand there. The herald is very quiet. I now realize I am holding very tightly to His hand. Without saying anything, He moves me so that I can see where everyone is going. Upon arrival, I fully understand. Before this long line of people are six machines. They are constructed with a large opening underneath and are laid out next to each other as beds. The bottom part is made of stainless steel with a seam in the middle of each. At the front of each bed there are vertical bars which go up. Two are spaced where a person's head would fit through. There is a large opening under all the beds where large trucks sit. I watch as the people climb up without resistance, one to a bed, and lie face down. A large upside-down V-shaped blade drops quickly. The bed opens at the seam and the body falls to the truck below. When the truck is full, it drives off and another takes its place. All this time, while the individuals climb on the bed, they continue to sing, I surrender all. The herald breaks his long silence. He calls me by my heavenly name, and for the first time in quite a while, I look up into his face. I see streams of tears coming down over his cheeks and onto his dimples. He instructs me to look once again. I watch as holy angels are surrounding each of these individuals. He says, Jesus could deliver all with one word, but what you see needs to happen. Watch closely. I watch as each assigned guardian angel has placed in his left arm a white robe to hold for the individual that just surrendered all. The robe is pure white with a large red border at the bottom. In their right hand is placed a pure silver tablet with pure gold border and a red ribbon wrapped around it. The tablet reads, Revelation 2:10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. The guardian angel takes his robe and holds it closely as if to show love and adoration, until this person is raised from death to everlasting life. Then this person will be dressed in this very special robe. My angel says it is time to leave. We return to the corridor where we sit silently for a little while. Neither of us says anything. After a bit, he says, "There is still more to show you." We stand up and walk to the side of the corridor where we pass through. We now stand outside of a grocery store. I watch as many people walk up to the store and show a card. I think it must be a membership card to allow them to go in. I notice a couple of people are turned away as they do not have a card. The herald and I begin to walk toward the building. As we continue, his appearance changes into a man again. We walk through the wall of the store and begin walking around, finding that there are not many items on the shelves. We walk over to the bakery area and find there is no freshly baked bread. He asks the lady behind the bakery counter why there is no freshly baked bread. She laughs and says, "We don't get bread anymore. Those that purchased grain and could mill their own flour now live like kings, as they can make their own bread." We continue to walk around and notice there are not a lot of things on the shelves. We see a stocking clerk. We ask why there are so few items on the shelves. He explains, "It is hard for the trucks to get in with the roads all destroyed, and fuel is not available for the vehicles. The fuel that is available is very expensive. Besides, only we select chosen people can get supplies anyway." We now go to the front of the store and see people ready to check out with the items they could find. As they get ready to pay, they present their card again. The cashier looks at the card, and then the person, and then swipes the card through the machine. The herald walks over and is somehow able to get one of the cards to show me. I look at it closely. It has the photo of the individual who owns the card. Next to the picture is their address, a series and number, a special watermark, and security seals. He turns the card over, and in huge letters I read, "Bearer of this card accepts and will adhere to a national day of reverence." A few registers over, I hear a commotion going on. A lady next to us says, "It is one of those people that don't want to keep God's day reverent. It's one of those Saturday people. They are the scourge of the earth. Can't wait till they can all be done away with." The herald says, "It is time to go." We walk through the wall. As we pass through the corridor, the herald becomes an angel again. Now we are in an area where I can see people, but they cannot see us. I realize they are Seventh-day Adventists, but I do not recognize them. They are in their homes, but it is as if I am in many different homes all at the same time. I watch as they make a decision to accept the National Day of Reverence card. They explain that they need the card to make payments on their house and car, to purchase food, and to pay their bills. They decide to accept the card, worshiping privately on Saturday, but keeping the required National Day of Reverence. The herald turns to me and says, "They forgot to choose this day whom they will serve. Come." We walk through the corridor and are now standing on a street. I see cars lined up at gasoline stations. The line goes from the pumps to the driveway and on down the road. Cars are parked everywhere. Some are almost brand new and some are very nice sports cars. The keys are still in the ignition and the doors hang open. I now notice a man walking by and get permission from the herald to speak to him. I ask a man why the cars are abandoned. He answers, "For one, there's no gasoline, and if there was, no one can afford it. Even if there was gasoline, the roads are so bad, no one can drive on them. All transportation has come to a standstill until they can get rid of the problem of these God-haters. All these problems are because of these people who will not accept a National Day of Reverence. Once they are gone, then things will be wonderful again. Sure, there will be a lot of work, But as long as we observe that reverent day, God has said he will bless us. Wait, I ask, God told you he will bless you if you keep the National Day of Reverence? The man looks at me strangely and inquires, are you one of those Saturday keepers? The herald says, it is time to go. We are now back in the corridor. The herald says, what I show you now, I was showing you when Becky awoke you from your dream. Permission was given then to share a little of what was shown you. We walk through the wall and are now visiting small areas around the different parts of the country. There are people with awful sores, which are large and red but white at the top. These appear to be boils which give off the worst odor I have ever smelled. The boils are all over their bodies, and they are writhing in extreme pain. There are small pockets of people that have the affliction. There have been special hospitals set up for these people. As I travel to hospitals in different parts of the country, I understand that this same thing is going on around the world. The herald says, come, it is time to go. We return to the corridor and go over to the wall. We pass through, and once again I remember this place. I now stand outside in a large field and look up at what resembles a drive-in theater screen. The angel says, once again, what I am to show you is of utmost importance. He tells me to look at the screen. I see what could be a movie of the front of a Bible. The large words, Holy Bible, glisten in gold, and below it are the smaller words, King James Version. The Bible opens to Exodus 20. The screen changes as the words spelling the law of God become bold, clear, and very easy to read. The herald says, God himself wrote this, and it is very important. Remember what it says. The fourth commandment becomes brighter and bolder. The word remember stands out from the rest of the verse. I look at the herald and he says his people need to remember this, especially in the days ahead. Tell them to choose this very day whom they will serve. If they choose God the Father, then they choose to keep his law. If they choose man's law, they choose Lucifer. He tells me to look into the sky, and in bright white letters I see written Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He says, it is time to go. We return to the corridor, and the herald says, all the things I have just shown you, I have been showing you for several months now. I was instructed to have you share this at this appointed time. You are to share this now, but before you awake, I have one more thing I am to show you. You have already been shown this, but you will now remember it. What you now see is for all of his people. You will need this for encouragement. We walk through the wall and pass through. The herald and I now fly toward the gate of heaven. As we get closer, I look down and recognize the vast valley below us and see the wall of heaven. I notice the square beam that sits on the pillars and on top of the wall. The pillars and beam are translucent, and their beauty defies words of description. The wall is made so that brightness emanates through it, and it is also so beautiful that words cannot describe it. As we continue to fly, I see the temple for the 144,000, as well as many other buildings and mansions. The herald says that each one is built specifically for each individual, and that no two are alike. He tells about the shelf in each one for a crown as I look down. I see millions and millions of mansions. I ask the herald how many there are. He smiles and says, one for each of God's people. We continue over vast parks and meadows. The beautiful fragrance that I detect of the flowers everywhere is very exciting. The grass is rich, vibrant green, and moves as if an ocean current. I keep trying to think of words that can explain the things I see and smell, but there are no words that can do it justice. I see where we are headed and ask the angel if we are going to the holy city. He responds, "Yes, I was instructed to bring you there, and I am now to show you something." Up until now, I have only seen the area on the outskirts of the city within the city. I am unable to find the correct words for the size of everything. I know that the wall of heaven is about 1,500 miles long, and that the holy city within the city is about 700 miles to the center. But the size is overwhelming. Everything is so much larger than there are words to use. We are now headed for the holy city. I start flying faster and faster. There is something about it that draws me there. Many, many excited angels line up as we quickly approach the great holy city. As we slow down and get closer to the ground, I see the most crystal clear water flowing. Our bodies rotate and our feet gently touch down. We begin walking and I look at the most beautiful river with the purest water I have ever seen. The flowing water has a sound of holiness. Further up, I see a tree of such beauty. It has two trunks, with one on each side of the river and one on the other side of the river. I notice this tree has many different kinds of fruit. Even the leaves of the tree look delicious. Again, I cannot find the right words to describe what I am seeing. Lining the river are many, many other trees, adding to the beauty of everything. I can see that God loves animals since there are so many walking around. Everywhere I am seeing a love that has no end. As a herald and I walk along the river, I see in the distance where the water is coming from. Looking at the herald, I tell him I must go there quickly. He smiles and says, "You are in my keep, but let us go together." We lift off the ground and quickly fly to where the water is coming out. It is pouring from the most beautiful throne. There are no words to adequately describe its beauty. Turning to the herald, I tell him how beautiful it is. He says, "Turn and look again." I turn and I see Jesus sitting on the throne. He stands up and walks on the river toward me. Angels that accompany Jesus attire him with his purple robe and sashes. One angel places a scepter in his right hand, and another places a crown within a crown on his head. He walks over to me, and I kneel at his feet and tell him how much I love him. He calls me by my heavenly name and says that he needs me to tell his people that soon all of this will be yours to enjoy for all eternity. Soon all of your sorrows will be done. He says, "Death, pain, suffering, and crying will be no more. I ask each of my people to choose whom you will follow. All that I have shown you is to help, as many will soon face hardship, loneliness, and persecution. This you do in my name, and I will write upon your head my name. My people, stand fast. Hold on to the faith that I am coming, and I have a great reward waiting for you. You and I shall feast and dwell together for eternity. How I long for the moment when I can come and bring you home." He looks to the herald and says, "Thank you." Jesus turns and walks away with his large accompaniment of angels. As I stand there with the herald's hand holding mine, I am speechless and awestruck. From what I have just seen and heard, I feel different kinds of emotions. All I can say is, what love my Savior has, and what wonderful love for someone like me. Oh, for the words of heaven that I can relate the elation I am feeling. I look to the herald with tears in my eyes, and I say, Come, King Jesus. Come, King Jesus, and take us home. The herald looks at me and says, It is time we leave. I turn and plead with him to please let me stay a little while longer. As we lift off the heavenly ground, my heart aches even more. The herald smiles and says, You know, if you remain faithful to Jesus, you will soon be here and not in a dream. You need to realize that this is a dream and that what God has planned is even better than what you have been shown in a dream. I continue to watch behind me as we leave the heavenly city. We soon return to the corridor. The angel instructs me that I am to begin preparing what I have been shown. He says that even though it is very long that I remember all of the details as the Holy Spirit is working with me. He puts his hands on my shoulders and says, Be courageous and hold to the truth. Share what you have been shown. Know that this is his message. I will see you again as I have more to share with you, but be patient and wait. I look up at him and ask, May I ask you one question before you go? He says, You may ask. I tell him, You told me to call you the herald. Is your name Gabriel? He smiles at me and says, As I told you before, who I am is not important. The name of the one all should want to know is the great judge. That is the one name all should want to know and speak of.